Star Wars, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, by Terry Brooks. Copyright 1999 by Lucasfilm Limited. This recording of the full-length reading of The Phantom Menace was published by arrangement with Random House Audio Publishing Incorporated, and was produced in 1999 by Books on Tape Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Neither this recording nor any part thereof may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authority from Books on Tape Incorporated. This book is read by Alexander Adams. This book consists of 24 chapters and is 324 pages long. Dedication to Lisa, Jill, Amanda, and Alex, the kids who grew up with the story, and to Hunter, the first of the next generation. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. 1. Tatooine. The sun's burned down out of a cloudless blue sky, washing the vast desert wastes of the planet in brilliant white light. The resultant glare rose off the flat sandy surface in a wet shimmer of blistering heat to fill the gaps between the massive cliff faces and solitary outcroppings of the mountains that were the planet's sole distinguishing feature. Sharply etched, the monoliths stood like sentinels, keeping watch in a watery haze. When the podracers streaked past, engines roaring with ferocious hunger and relentless drive, the heat and the light seemed to shatter and the mountains themselves to tremble. Anakin Skywalker leaned into the curve of the raceway that took him past the stone arch, marking the entry into Beggar's Canyon on the first lap of the run, easing the thruster bars forward, giving the engines a little more juice. The wedge-shaped rockets exploded with power, the right a tad harder than the left, banking the pod in which Anakin sat sharply left to clear the turn. Swiftly, he adjusted the steering to straighten the racer, boosted power further, and shot through the arch. Loose sand whiplashed in the wake of his passing, filling the air with a gritty sheen, whirling and dancing through the heat. He ripped into the canyon, fingers playing across the controls, hands steady on the steering. It was all so quick, so instantaneous. One mistake, one misjudgment, and he would be out of the race and lucky if he weren't dead. That was the thrill of it. All that power, all that speed, just at his fingertips and no margin for error. Two huge turbines dragged a fragile pod over sandy flats, around jagged-edged mountains, down shadowed draws, and over heart-wrenching drops in a series of twisting, winding curves and jumps at the greatest speed a driver could manage. Control cables ran from the pod to the engines, and energy binders locked the engines to each other. If any part of the three struck something solid, the whole of the assembly would collapse in a splintering of metal and a fiery wash of rocket fuel. If any part broke free, it was all over. A grin split Anakin's young face as he injected a bit more power into the thrusters. Ahead, the canyon narrowed and the shadows deepened. Anakin bore down on the slit of brightness that opened back onto the flats, keeping low to the ground where passage was widest. If he stayed high, he risked brushing the cliff faces on either side. That had happened to Rega in a race last month, and they were still looking for the pieces. It would not happen to him. He shoved the thruster bars forward and exploded through the gap onto the flats, engines screaming. Sitting in the pod with his hands on the controls, Anakin could feel the vibration of the engines travel up the control cables and fill him with their music. Wrapped in his rough-made jumpsuit, his racing helmet, his goggles, and his gloves, he was wedged so closely in his seat that he could feel the rush of the wind across the pod's skin beneath him. When he raced like this, he was never simply the driver of a pod racer, never just an additional part. Rather, he was at one with the whole, and engines, pod, and he were bound together in a way he could not entirely explain. Each shimmy, each small throb, each tug and twist of strut and tie were apparent to him, and he could sense at any given moment exactly what was happening throughout the length and breadth of his racer. It spoke to him in its own language, a mix of sounds and feelings, and though it did not use words, he could understand everything it said. Sometimes, he thought dreamily, he could sense what it would say before it even spoke. A flash of gleaming orange metal shot past him on his right, and he watched the distinctive split X of Sebulba's engines flare out before him, taking away the lead he had seized through an unusually quick start. His brow wrinkled and disgusted himself for his momentary lapse of concentration and his dislike of the other racer. All gangly and crook-legged, Sebulba was as twisted inside as out, a dangerous adversary who won often and took delight in doing so at the expense of others. The Dug had caused more than a dozen crashes of other podracers in the past year alone, and his eyes glinted with wicked pleasure when he recounted the tales to others on the dusty streets of Mos Espa. Anakin knew Sebulba well, and knew better than to take chances with him. He rode the thruster bars forward, fed fresh power to the engines, and rocketed ahead. It didn't help, he supposed, as he watched the distance between them narrow, that he was human, or, much worse, that he was the only human ever to drive in the pod races. The ultimate test of skill and daring on Tatooine and the favorite spectator sport of the citizens of Mos Espa, it was supposed to be beyond the skill and capability of any human. Multiple arms and multi-hinged joints, stalk eyes, heads that swiveled 180 degrees, and bodies that twisted as if boneless, gave advantages to other creatures that humans could not begin to overcome. The most famous racers, the best of a rare breed, were strangely shaped, complexly formed beings with a penchant for taking risks that bordered on insanity. But Anakin Skywalker, while nothing like these, was so intuitive in his understanding of the skills required by his sport, and so comfortable with its demands, that his lack of these other attributes seemed to matter not at all. It was a source of some mystery to everyone, and a source of disgust and growing irritation to Sebulba in particular. Last month, in another race, the wily Dug had tried to run Anakin into a cliff face. He had failed only because Anakin sensed him coming up from behind and underneath. An illegal razor saw extended to sever Anakin's right Steelton control cable, and Anakin lifted away to safety before the saw could do its damage. His escape cost him the race, but allowed him to keep his life. It was a trade he was still angry at having been forced to make. The racers whipped through columns of ancient statuary and across the floor of the arena erected on the edge of Mos Espa. They swept under the winner's arch, past row upon row of seats crammed with spectators cheering them on, past droids, repair stations, and the boxes where the huts watched in isolated splendor above the commoners. From an overlook in a tower centered on the arch, the two-headed Troig, who served as announcer, would be shouting out their names and positions to the crowd. Anakin allowed himself a momentary glimpse of blurred figures that were left behind so fast they might have been nothing more than a mirage. His mother, Shmi, would be among them, worrying as she always did. She hated watching him drive in the pod races, but she couldn't help herself. She never said so, but he thought she believed that simply by being there she could keep him from coming to harm. It had worked so far. He had crashed twice and failed to finish even once. But after more than half a dozen races, he was unharmed. And he liked having her there. It gave him a strange sort of confidence in himself he didn't like to think about too closely. Besides, what choice did they have in the matter? He raced because he was good at it. Watto knew he was good at it, and whatever Watto wanted of him, he would do. That was the price you paid when you were a slave, and Anakin Skywalker had been a slave all his life. Arch Canyon rose broad and deep before him, an expanse of rock leading into Jag Crag Gorge, a twisting channel the racers were required to navigate on their way to the high flats beyond. Sebulba was just ahead, rocketing low and tight across the ground, trying to put some distance between Anakin and himself. Behind Anakin, close now, were three other racers spread out against the horizon. A quick glance revealed Mahonik, Gasgano, and Rimkar trailing in his strange bubble pod. All three were gaining. Anakin started to engage his thrusters, then drew back. They were too close to the gorge. Too much power there, and he would be in trouble. Response time in the channel was compacted down to almost nothing. It was better to wait. Mahonik and Gasgano seemed to agree, settling their pods into place behind his as they approached the split in the rock. But Rimkar was not content to wait, and roared past Anakin split seconds before they entered the cleft and disappeared into darkness. Anakin leveled out his pod.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?